Welcome back to Let's Talk. You are here with your host, Dr. Batts. And in the studio today, we have Miriam Cruz. Miriam, it is a pleasure to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
So let me tell you about this show. Listen to my show all across the world because they know that we bring on interesting people. And you are just that. You're an interesting person. So we want to get to know you. We want to get to know more about your life, who you are, how you came to be who you are, where you're going, and what means the world to you. Easy enough?
That is easy enough.
So let's start with the easy part. Tell us about Miriam. Who is Miriam?
I am Miriam Cruz, daughter to Abdelmajid, who is an Arab Muslim from New York, from the Bronx, and daughter to Yvette Cruz, Hispanic Puerto Rican lady from the Bronx.
That's an interesting mix, huh?
Yes, he was the bodega man, and she was a customer.
So your pops owned the bodega in the Bronx?
He sure did. He came here from Jordan back in 1990, trying to pursue a bright future. He's done well for himself.
And he met your moms on the block?
On the block in New York. And he said, hey, you have some bright green eyes. You're beautiful. Want to help me out with some citizenship.
Are you serious?
I swear.
And that's how it started?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now I see we're going to have a raw conversation.
I'm saying, you want to know who am I? This is who I am.
Okay.
Came from them.
So were you raised a little Muslim, Puerto Rican, Arab girl in the Bronx, or what was that like?
From my childhood, due to a few circumstances, I was actually raised with my Puerto Rican grandmother.
Okay.
Who is from Midtown, New York, Hell's Kitchen. That's what they called it back in the day.
Yeah.
35th and 10th. My mom was a very busy lady.
So grandma knew how to fight. If she was from Hell's Kitchen, that means she knew how to fight.
More of a sister. She was more of the accountant. The
story's crazy. Did you say the accountant?
Yes.
Okay, I'm listening. Talk to us.
And back in the day, times were a little different then. People respected the Spanish elderly people, so they didn't really have to fight. They just had to give you that look out the fire escape window.
That's right. That's right.
And she was a very respectable woman in her community. Everyone respected Ms. Domitilla Cruz. That was her name.
Wow, that's a powerful name.
Domitilla. And my father was a very busy man. He constantly dabbled in different businesses in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly street businesses, if you want to get technical.
What does that mean, street businesses, like?
When you're in New York, especially the Bronx, and you have a bodega, you kind of become the OG of that block.
That's right. Whatever, right. Everything goes.
Yes, okay. Everything goes. And he's an Arab guy. Mm-hmm. He's got the thick, heavy accent. So they called them the Habibi.
Yeah, that's right. Habibi, that's a term of endearment.
Or David. He then got his American name.
And what's his name?
Abdelmajid.
Where'd David come from?
Listen, beats me. They gave him the name in the block, in the hood.
Okay.
That's what they did for him. Okay. And he ran with it. Because he's this fresh Arab guy from Jordan who wants to make these relationships with these people so he can feel protected and respect it.
That's right.
Because it's already hard to come into a neighborhood where everyone is literally staring you down.
That's right.
You look Arab.
And it wasn't easy in the 90s.
And
so,
definitely wasn't.
So in telling your story, you started with your father, your mother, and your grandmother.
I actually started with my grandmother. There were some obstacles growing up. My mother had some difficulties as a single, I want to say, Spanish woman struggling in Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So she reached out to my grandmother for some help.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma naturally, of course, said, open arms, bring her over.
But what I'm saying is some people start talking about themselves. You started with your lineage.
That's who I am. That's where I get
my
language, my sayings. Like the one saying I said a little while ago, we said, you know, when you want to eat? And as Spanish people would say, muerto quiere misa.
Meaning, muerto quiere misa.
Muerto quiere misa, meaning, of course, we want to eat. So I start off with them because I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for them. So if I was adopted and raised in a suburban home, I wouldn't be Miriam Cruz.
So a part of the Bronx will always be with you?
Absolutely.
So to know you is to know your people and to know your place.
To know my family, really.
To know your family.
I have a few people that I still keep with me that are loyal and strong.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long, lengthy process of transitioning from the Bronx to here. But my grandmother lived in Midtown Hell's Kitchen. So when I went to visit the parents, I would go uptown. So I have a little bit of each. Downtown was a little classy. Uptown, a little rough around the edges.
So that's you.
Yeah.
That's how people would describe you.
Yes.
What do you love most about yourself?
I love most about myself that I am a mother to one girl that I can give my full attention to, Natalia.
Shout out to Natalia.
That is my baby, my priority, my number one. So that's what I love most about myself, to be honest. That's why I have molded myself to be who I am today, because of that child 12 years ago.
And tell us who you are today.
Today,
I am... You talk like this old soul. You're like, back in the day, I mean, they respected the elders.
I'm 34, Dr. Vats.
No, you make it sound like you're 70. Back in the day, you respected the elders.
Listen, now I see elderlies walking with bags in their hand. Me at 12, the old Ramona from down the block, if I seen her with her bags, I would run up to her on my scooter and put the bags on each handle of the scooter and meet her in her front door.
So what's changed?
It starts from home. The parents are not teaching the children these values, because my daughter will most definitely see Doña Ramona and ask her if she need help.
So the world you grew up in is radically different than the
had
world.
Had morals and values.
And your daughter's school and neighborhood doesn't have those.
I want to say it doesn't. It really doesn't. I put my daughter in a private charter school for a reason, but again, it's not about the name of the school. It's about the children that are in there and who they're being raised by. And I realized that when, from kindergarten till now, she's in fifth grade, there's children in there that don't belong in there because of the way they speak, act. Bullying is huge. Mm. And there's a zero bully tolerance in that school.
Mm-hmm, but you still see it.
Yes. I don't like the bullying. I teach my daughter not to do that. And you know, I'm not with her from 8 to 3 while she's there. So whatever she's learning that I didn't teach at home, sometimes she brings back with her.
Yeah.
And I have to have these conversations with her. And then being that I am a single parent. So I have to be the bad guy most of the times. And I don't like it, but I have to, because if I don't, who will? So when she comes back with these bad habits, mm-hmm. and I'm telling her, this is why you can't do it, I do get the eye rolls and back talk a little,
but... The 12-year-old energy.
Yeah, she's about to be a teenager, of course. That's she wants right. to know why she can't wear fake nails and lashes. No, mama, you can't.
Yeah. So a lot of the parents we work with, mm-hmm. we continue to hear that the world is changing. That,
absolutely.
That the children are not surrounded with the best behaviors. And bullying is a big one in middle school.
Yes, and it starts with, what shoes are you wearing?
Really?
Yes, when I was 10 and 12... My grandmother provided me a pair of sneakers every 6 months, if that.
Okay.
And I was in there with a rag and a toothbrush. Mm-hmm. There was slight bullying then, but nothing like it is now. I don't remember in the 90s any of my friends killing themselves because of bullying. Now I'm reading that children as young as 7 to even like 18, 19, even adults, they're just, wow. suicide is the answer. And I'm not understanding that. I didn't grow up in that type of environment or world. And I had other friends who... We're unfortunate to not have parents when we grew up, you know. I wouldn't say my parents weren't there, but I was like 100% with my grandmother. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Us kids, we rode scooters and played ball downstairs.
That's right.
And we never talked about how we need some depression pills or anxiety pills because we're anxious because dad hasn't called back.
So you're seeing mental health increasing.
It's very much different, yes, because the abuelas then weren't telling us your dad's a deadbeat and he's not coming to see you. I feel like the talk, the morals, and the values are very important. And right now, in this generation, I don't feel like not many people have that.
So it's coming from the adults. That's what you're saying.
It's coming from the adults. It's the parent. It's parenting. It's the parent.
The parents have changed. The abuela
absolutely.
Has changed.
The abuelas have changed. The mothers have changed. There's a lot of broken homes. I know, I'm not trying to stereotype, Doc, but I've been in this town for 10 years now. And then I was in the Bronx the rest of, like, the beginning of my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a comparison here. Mm-hmm. And I don't see a lot of happy homes that are parenting well together in this generation. Like, I want to say between 16 and 25 years old. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of broken homes, pregnant teenagers, no sense of direction. The mom thinks that kicking her out is the best way to go. So now they're figuring it out on the street, and the way they're figuring it out is not the right way.
Yeah, but haven't the systems contributed to that? I mean, is it just the parents? Well, I was in a meeting one time, and they said the issue in the community is the parents don't love their children. And I adamantly disagree with that. I said parents love their children.
Yes, but also, okay, I'm going to get a little personal. my mother, Yvette, her mother didn't raise her with love. Oh. She left her home a lot with her step-pops, who was not a good person. Mm-hmm. And this man tore her down, mm-hmm. physically, emotionally, verbally. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I'm 34. When I see my mom, we don't hug. But I hug Natalia so much, she's sick of me.
So you're breaking cycles.
Of course I am.
And creating new pathways.
Absolutely.
Love.
So my mom was raised that way. She raised the boys like that.
That's right.
Now, her siblings, because my mom has siblings, right? They're like that. Now, they have each 8 children. So now, do you see 16 of these men and women that are my family were not raised off of love?
That's affection.
So some of them don't even know how to do it.
I have a buddy. He's probably
to give it
55, and his son's like 35 or so. And he said he's never hugged his son before.
Yeah, that's, you need affection. You need reassurance.
So where'd you learn that? To do something and be something different, and to raise and, you know, rear someone different.
Well, my grandmother, mm-hmm. I got lucky to be raised with her. That's my mother's mother's sister. I call her grandma because it was a respecting back in the day. Like, mm-hmm. but she's really my great aunt, mm-hmm. and it was nothing but love and affection there and reassurance. Anybody who came in that door and wanted to mess with me, meaning like family members talking to her and saying, you baby her too much.
That's right.
You don't say no enough. She goes, back off. This is not your business. The door is right there. Mm. So she protected me in such a way. That's why I know how to protect Natalia. And then I'm an overthinker and analyze. So I'm like, all right, what am I lacking here? Okay, well, I wanted that two-parent home. I wanted football fields. I wanted the big schools. I didn't get it. Well, let me give it to Natalia. Mm-hmm. Well, I moved here for her the last 2 years of high school with an aunt. It was great. I experienced it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I became pregnant with Natalia, I lived in Yonkers, New York. I had moved up a little more uptown to get a little better with the crime rate.
Yonkers is a lot more uptown.
I mean, it's not deep Yonkers. It's the last stop on the one
train. They have their own mayor. It's a whole nother city.
It's 241st, so it's the last stop. It's basically borderline Bronx.
I don't know about that.
It is. Like, you could walk the borderline to the Bronx. Literally, you'll walk to 231st, and it's all Dominican people.
Okay, so you DMX the locks of Yonkers.
We could say that.
Yep.
So once I became pregnant with Natalia, I said, all right, well, time to make changes. She needs that good school. She needs that suburban area. Not that all suburban areas are great. I'm not saying that. But I didn't want her to worry about trains and buses. And when we walk outside, we got to look down because of dog poop, you know,
mm-hmm.
littering. It was a lot of litter in New York.
Yeah.
And I never realized that as a kid growing up. I was so happy and go lucky that I never looked at those things. And so I became a mother. And I'm like, oh, no, can't do this.
So now you want to protect her from the things that you were exposed to.
Absolutely. Everything.
Okay. So where are you going? What's next?
What's next? Well, I've been talking to a very intelligent individual regarding what I do want to do next. I enjoy property investments.
Okay.
I'm not there yet, but my stepmom, she's a property manager,
mm-hmm.
and she does very well, and she makes good money.
So real estate,
she's happy.
Real estate's where it's at.
Yes, and then I can create that general wealth for Natalia. I can teach her, all right, look, we're going to buy these 4 Airbnbs. These 4 Airbnbs are going to pay off your college. And when you're done in college, you're going to keep these, and you're going to keep up with them, and then this is going to pay off whatever business you want or whatever your little heart desires in mm-hmm. this future of yours. The seed's already there. You don't have to go work hard like me.
That's
work
right.
3-4 jobs. I used to work in a hookah lounge, in an Arab hookah lounge in Brooklyn, just serving hookah. And that was 4 a.m., 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. So imagine those train rides.
Wow.
From Brooklyn to the Bronx.
Yeah.
So you're going from Brooklyn, Manhattan, and all the way uptown Bronx.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, 5
yes.
o'clock in the morning. That's
so
wild.
That I could pay rent at 18 and I can make it because I've always been so independent. I don't want her to go through that. On her graduation from high school to college, because that's what she will be doing, I'm going to gift her a vehicle. Here, get your stuff to college.
That's right.
Here's all the allowances I have asked you to save.
That's right.
And make your way. But hi, I'm here. Your house is here if you need to come home.
Still going
to
support her.
Yes.
You have a beautiful vision for her. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. I'm here in the studio with Miriam Cruz, and we'll be right back.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Dr. Hassan Batts in the studio with Miriam Cruz. Miriam, you've taken us through your journey from the Bronx to Pennsylvania, living with abuela, living with your mom, living with your aunt, and all the dreams you have for your daughter, Natalia.
Yes, that is
correct. So let's talk about, I think we made it to about 12 years old. You did talk a little bit about the hookah lounge and things like that, but let's talk about where your life went, the next phase.
Okay, so we moved.
And the reason I just want to share, we do a lot of storytelling on this show, right?
Right.
Because by telling your story, others can relate to it. They can see themselves in your story. You have a story of resilience. You have a story of strength. You have a story of power. You have a story of success. And we want people to know that they can start somewhere and go to that next level. So
that's why I was open to this this session here with you, Doc, because I know all the crazy obstacles I've been through, and I'm here, I'm able, and I'm willing.
Still standing.
Yes, so I know that others like me can definitely do it.
That's
like,
right.
Graduate high school, go to college without the parent figures, and be okay. Or even as a single mom, you can do it. It's possible. It's a mind over matter thing, honest.
You can do it.
You can do it. It could be done.
You believe that.
I did it.
People can do it. You've done it.
I did it. Every We've job seen. That either in New York as odd end jobs because I went to agencies. My assignment's over because they didn't need me anymore. I had a job within 2 days. You can do it. If I get that there's this thing called, you know, anxiety and depression. I'm not taking that away from anybody. Mm-hmm. But you have to get the help because if Miriam doesn't help Miriam, who's going to help Miriam?
We always say no one's coming to save us.
No one's coming to save us. And at 15, I knew that 100% no one's coming to save me because my grandma passed. She passed away.
The grandma that offered all the love and affection.
The grandma with the love and affection that I lived with in Manhattan on 35th was now gone. She had health problems. And she held on as long as she could. I remember always telling her when I was like six, I'm like, please make it to my teenage years. Don't leave me alone. I don't want to do the world alone.
That's scary.
It was scary. I didn't know about credit. I didn't know I was supposed to be saving my money. I didn't know. It's like I was in a bubble with my grandma because she protected me so much.
That's
I just
right.
thought I was going to be okay.
That's right.
She didn't have life insurance.
Wow.
So when she gone, she was gone. There was nothing. But whatever little things I wanted to save of hers. And that's it. And then what happens when you're 15 and your guardian passes? They call your parent. Now, me and my mom, we don't have a terrible relationship, but she doesn't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, now we're getting to know each other for since my daughter was born.
You mean like your personality?
Yeah, she only knows that I look just like her. That's all she knows. She didn't know my attitude. She didn't know I'm the plant lady. The plant lady.
Shout out to the plant ladies. I'm married to a plant lady.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually, it's a finding peace of mind with plants.
It's therapeutic.
But, at 15, they called the parents, and here I am. I'm like, I have two brothers now and a sister. I don't know these kids.
And you were just thrown into a house with
them. And I was thrown in a house with them, but because I was raised off those morals and values I told you about, as soon as I came in, I embraced all of them.
That's right.
Those were my babies.
You were raised off love.
Yes, so those are still my babies.
And you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Ah.
So when I came into this house now, these children are 9, 4, and 13, I want to say my brother was, because we're 2 years apart. And now my mom expects, because she knows the wonderful person my grandmother is, for me to walk in here and know what to do with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't raised like that. I'm not selfish, but I didn't know to share. I never had to share.
Mm.
Like, outside, I'll share my food, I'll open doors. But as far as, like, my toys as a child, I wasn't taught
those
to share.
Those were yours.
That's my stuff. My grandma used to tell anybody, leave her and Nana alone. That was her favorite line. So now I'm in this house. I got to share with two boys, a girl. I'm in a room where we're in a room with bunk beds. My brother's on the top. I'm on the bottom. My little sister sleeps next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this crowded place now. I'm not uncomfortable, but I'm just confused.
It's different. Yeah.
And my mom's not affectionate, I said. Mm-hmm. She barely talks. She has her own trauma, childhood trauma she never dealt with and didn't know how to deal with because she was a stay-at-home mom to a Muslim man that does not talk about your feelings. Mm. It's like you're on a like autopilot. Cook, clean, take care of kids. Because that's how my dad was raised. Survival. Yeah. He was raised in Jordan that way. Women, barefoot, pregnant, cook and clean, and we bring money to the house. Whatever she's feeling, that's her business. Mm. Call your sister, call your mother. But my mother don't have those relationships with the mother, the sister, so she suppressed a lot of her emotions. So here I am thinking she hates me, but she didn't hate me. She just didn't know how to deal with me. She I'm a teenage girl coming in with questions. Mom, what's a period?
So what's your message to the teenage girl that feels alone, that feels unloved, that lacks affection? What's your message to her?
It's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. These emotions and feelings you're feeling right now are part of those teenage crazy hormones. Mm-hmm. And if you do have someone in your life that you trust and admire, talk about it. Do not suppress your feelings. That's the worst thing I could have done. And I would act so tough. You would never know I was sad or had a problem or didn't have parents or grandmother passed because I just didn't talk about it.
You covered everything up.
I was get good grades. Like my track record for high school, amazing.
Okay.
Get money. I've been working since when I moved here as the teenage girl. Mm-hmm. For the last 2 years of high school, I had three jobs. Vector Marketing, Dorney Park, and something else.
While you were in school?
While I was in school. And because I had good grades, my guardians at the time, which is my aunts and uncle, who are my adoptive parents, mm-hmm. they were very supportive of that. And by the way, they have to be your adoptive parents. I believe at the time in Pennsylvania, that's what the guardianship required in order to do the schooling and whatever else they had going on for me mm-hmm. in order to protect my future, okay. meaning as far as life insurance, wills, stuff like that. So they wanted to make sure that I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So they legally adopted me, and it's the best thing that they could have done.
So what's your message to the parents?
To the parents?
To parents I think you should go ahead.
Love your children. Talk to them. Ask them, how was your day at school? Don't assume those teachers did your job. Those teachers are there to teach your children, not to parent your children.
Wow. Some,
it's true. And I went to my daughter's field day a week ago, and I saw that. Not all teachers have that affection and want to talk to you and ask you what's going on at home. That's like 2 out of 10.
So it's not the teacher's job to nurture them.
It's not.
It's their job to educate them.
Yes, and it's the parents' job to also educate and nurture because whatever curriculum they're teaching at school, it's your job to follow up at home. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need you to read page 2 to 5. Did you understand that? It's a class of 26 children. Mm-hmm. So are all 26 grasping that? Do some of them have ADHD where they don't even focus? Mm. We don't know that. I'm not there with her. Mm-hmm. So it's my job as a parent to ask her, what happened at school today? How do you feel? How are your feelings? You haven't seen your That's dad right. in X amount of time.
That's right.
I think that Natalia, let me rephrase that. She will be okay. And I know that every other girl in Allentown and Bethlehem that is currently going through that situation, you're going to be okay too. It's mind over matter. And that's
hard
to say. But
that's hard in the thick of it though, right? Like to,
it is
to
hard.
Believe that.
You have to put it in your, first you have to create this mindset. No one's saving me.
No one is coming
and
to save us.
If someone is out there to save you, I want to say, and I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but 6 out of 10 want to take advantage of you. Mm. What they could get from you. Can you get a check behind me? Will I get extra food stamps behind you? Mm. Or you're overly grown, and now it could be a person in the family that wants to take advantage of you in a different way. Because we're in them times. I didn't see a lot of that either back in the day. Now I'm seeing that.
You keep going back to that.
Yes,
the times
because
are getting worse.
I could see it in my head.
What gives you hope? What's better now than it was back in the days?
Doc, honestly, I can't even answer that.
Because you don't see the improvements?
I was, me and the 6 girls in my building, we were able to hang out in the front on a scooter.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
No one's going to come to kidnap us.
Yeah.
It was very rare. And if someone came in a weird van, all the neighbors that are already out the window, they're attacking
they're
that guy.
They're watching it.
Now people pull out their phones and record the attack.
While you're getting kidnapped.
And they're not even helping.
Wow.
No one, like, we need, the community needs to do a better job.
Where do we start?
And within yourself. With yourself. Because if you're not a good person, and if this cup is empty, how can I help you?
You have nothing left.
If I'm like the neighborhood to say drug addict, right? And I'm not doing for myself. I'm not okay. I don't even have nowhere to stay. How am I going to protect that child's going to kidnap? What am I going to do?
So you got to make good choices.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. What's your favorite book? We're going to get to know you a little bit.
What's my favorite book? All right. So I don't necessarily have a favorite book. I like listening to podcasts. And okay. I like to listen to real life situations. Like I dated a narcissist not too long ago. I don't understand that word. That word gets thrown around very lightly. Like, he's a narcissist.
The podcast is talking about it.
Yeah, so I look up doctors, not just people, doctors like yourself that have some type of knowledge on this. And then I listen to that because I feel like reading, yes, you're reading, but then somewhere mid-page, you're thinking about your 5 o'clock grocery list.
So what's your favorite podcast?
I'm not sure of the doctor's name, but she talks a lot about your feelings. Okay. And narcissists, not in relationships, but in family ships. I don't know how to say that. Like mm-hmm. from parent mm-hmm. to child. Because mm-hmm. that's a thing.
That's right.
That's a thing. And it helps me understand why I went through some of the things I went through. Because as humans, we have feelings and we start to beat ourselves up. I wasn't good enough. We're humans, so we would beat ourselves up. Like, was I wrong? Did I not do enough as a daughter? Mm-hmm. Should I have left my grandmother's house and fought to be at my mom's house? No, that's not my job. I am the child at that time.
That's right. That's hard for people yes. to understand. A lot of people will kick themselves for things that adults did to them or didn't do for them for the rest of their lives. You can be 65 years old and still blaming yourself for what happened when you were 7 years old.
But see, I didn't learn that with my Arab parent or even my Hispanic parent. I learned that from my adopted American dad that he's very much into his feelings. Mm. So he'll want to talk about, but what's wrong? What do you want to talk about?
That's not really an American male thing either. So you got lucky, I guess.
I got lucky yeah. with him. He was raised in California in a Hispanic community.
Okay.
He's not really your typical American guy.
He's like a hippie maybe?
Not a hippie. He's just... That's me with an intelligent individual.
Me with those stereotypes, right? California, yeah. He was surfing or something like that.
No, he really wasn't.
See, that's a
stereotype. If anything, when he moved from there... He came here and started washing trucks. His dad had a truck business, Magic Wash.
Okay.
So I got lucky with him the last two years of high school. So he was the one asking me about my feelings. My Arab dad wasn't interested in the feelings. He was interested in cover your head, Miriam.
I have an old head. He always says to me, feelings and emotions are what we have the most of and know the least about.
Yeah, because you have to get in tune. You have to understand. Why
am
I feeling
rage? Yeah, but you got to feel safe. You have to be with people.
Well, that's why you're supposed to feel safe within yourself. It starts with you. So you're home alone, you feel safe within yourself, listen to this podcast, get a paper, write down your flaws, take accountability.
Listen, one of the sayings that we have is it's simple, but it sure isn't easy. So what you're talking about is simple, right? The solutions are simple.
But it's not easy.
It's not easy to do the work.
You have to start with your mindset. Again, within your mindset.
So this is back to your message to the world, right?
Yes.
Start with your mindset.
Your mindset. It's mind over matter. You have to start somewhere. I went to this women's summit on Thursday, and it was very insightful. I want to say 90% of the women there said what I just said. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. If you're that teenage girl that keeps getting kicked out of home because your mom pays you no mind and is focused on the boyfriend, okay, you don't want to go through that. You want a different future. What are you lacking? Are your grades good in school? Are you locking in that scholarship so you could get away and go to college start this bright future that you want? Those are the things to think about. Go to the libraries. Libraries are free. Tons of knowledge. Printers, computers. I spent a lot of my childhood in the library after my grandmother died.
Okay.
Researching. And what do I do? What are the 10 top paying high jobs?
So we have a minute left.
Okay.
Start somewhere. I come back. Talk to you 5 years from now. Where are you? What have you started today that has gotten? Where has it gotten you?
5 years from now, I know that I'm going to have the things on my goals list done. And one of those things is creating, like I said, general wealth for Natalia.
Okay.
And Natalia's children's and Natalia's children's children's.
I love it.
Yes. And other family members that I'm close to that don't have that mindset, but I'm going to show them that you can. Because
right.
I'm like them, and they have worse situations than me, and they can do it. They
if
just
you can
choose
do
not
it, they
to.
Can do it.
Right, and these are cousins that I grew up with and had a worse story.
That's right.
They didn't have this adopted dad.
So you're saying that story doesn't have to be your ending?
No, absolutely not. And even if, let's say, you have an addiction problem, okay, no one's perfect. you get up, you make those calls. You don't have a phone, you don't have a job, free library. They don't turn away anyone.
So the information is out there.
The information is there. You have to be willing to do it. I can take that camel to the Sahara Desert where there's a river to drink that water. And if he does not want to drink that water, he is not going to drink that water.
I wonder where you got that from.
I'm just thinking right now.
Yeah. Miriam, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you for trusting us with your story. Thank you for speaking to our people from your heart. Thank you for all you are becoming and all that you are.
Thank you, Dr. Batts. The pleasure is mine. I hope to hear from you again.
You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Dr. Batts. Until next time.